There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. That's why I have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code RATCHET at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code RATCHET. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. That's because First Leaf gets to know your unique preferences. To start, I answered a few questions on their website about the flavors I like, how often I drink wine, and if I prefer red, white, or my favorite, rosé. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. Tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable from Cape Town. I would have had this podcast up earlier, but OJ died. And then I got caught up in nostalgia. I started watching Made in America. I was looking at responses to his death online. I saw Jemele Hill had recommended watching Made in America, and I remember the documentary coming out several years ago, but in general, I didn't watch a lot of the OJ recaps or the OJ documentaries when, like, you know, the 10th, 15th, 20th, 25th anniversary of the trial rolled around, just because I felt like I lived it. I did watch that FX one. That wasn't a documentary. That was scripted. The one where Cuba Gooding Jr. played OJ. And Sterling K. Brown was Christopher Darden. I can't remember who played Johnny Cochran. Hold on one second. Courtney B. Vance played Johnny Cochran. That was really, really good. If you've never watched, it's American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. Absolutely amazing television. I used to rewatch that over and over and over. But I didn't watch a lot of the documentaries. And Made in America is probably the biggest one. Like, it won an Oscar. 5-part series. I watched it on YouTube. I had just planned to watch one episode. I ended up binge watching all 5 episodes. And they're not short either. It's probably like 90 minutes each episode. I lived it. I was a senior in high school when the verdict came down. I thought I knew it because I would watch the recaps every night at dinner. We'd be sitting at the kitchen table. My parents would have the news on and they would recap whatever happened in the trial that day. Because I lived through it and I thought I was old enough to really get it, but I guess not. Because I watched Made in America today and I remember a lot of the details, but I guess just I have a different lens as I should nearly 30 years later. But I remember watching the verdict. I went to this really small, very white prep school in Maryland. And when the verdict was read, I had a free period. And the staff had set up a TV in the library for students who wanted to come in and watch the verdict. I think like most of Black America, I wanted him to get off. But nobody really thought that he would because a Black man in America done killed a white woman. You got this dream team of lawyers. Cochran's doing a hell of a job. You got the glove. Like, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Like, it's catchy and all that. But like a Black man in America, you're not going to get away with killing a blonde white woman. Like, that's just not going to happen. And then the verdict is read. And it was just like everything you see in all those clips that are all over the internet. The Black students were cheering and crying, tears of relief, joy, shock. A whole bunch of stuff was mixed up in why Black people were happy about that. And the white people were just like, what the fuck. Like, he killed them people. And that wasn't even a factor for Black folks. It wasn't about whether he killed the people or did he not. It was very much kind of celebrating Cochran, kind of celebrating this Black man who beat the system, this Black hero who didn't get dragged down. White people couldn't get him. Whether he actually killed the people or not, I don't even remember that being a factor. Nobody really cared whether he did it or not. It was just like, could he beat the system? Which everyone thought he wouldn't. And then he did. And everybody was like completely fucking shocked. Like a Black man, quote and unquote, won. But watching it today, almost 30 years later, because the verdict came down in 95. I think if OJ went on trial right now, I think the verdict would be the same. And I think the way people celebrated or the way people mourned would be exactly the same. 30 years later, and I don't think we've shifted very much in terms of culture. The documentary talks to a couple jurors, and one of them flatly says that she voted for an acquittal. It wasn't about whether she thought OJ did it or not. It was about payback for Rodney King. Because everybody watched that video. That's imprinted in my head. That's why I won't watch the George Floyd video. But the beating of Rodney King, that video played on a loop over and over and over and over for weeks, if not months. Those cops beat the shit out that man. And then they get acquitted. It just didn't make sense. I mean, that's why LA went up in flames. Like, there were several incidents. There was a little girl. She was buying juice from, in New York, we'd call it a bodega. It was Asian owned. She was trying to pay for her juice. It was like $2. Like, she had the money. And she had some back and forth, a Korean grocer. But she had a back and forth with the woman, and she walks off from the counter, and the woman just takes out a gun and shoots her in the back of the head. Little girl was, what, 11, 12, something like that? The lady got probation. So that was the situation in LA. I'm telling you this like you didn't live through it with me, but I'm making a point. Stay with me. But that was the situation in LA at the time. So when OJ happens, it's like, well, y'all didn't give a fuck about Rodney King, and y'all didn't give a fuck about this little Black girl, so why do y'all want me to give a fuck about these two dead white people? I'm not saying it's the right logic. I'm saying I do understand it, though. I think if OJ happens now, the context is, well, this is for Trayvon, and this is for Tamir Rice, and this is for Sandra Bland, and 50 million other Black folks who were murdered, and there was no justice for their deaths. 30 years later, not much has changed. I'd like to think that I wouldn't cheer the same way I did as a 16-year-old, but it's not cheering because a murderer got off. And it's not logical. It's emotional. But it's about the lick back. It's like, you don't give a fuck about me, then why do I give a fuck about you? It's a really terrible state to be in because you're just constantly going back and forth trying to one-up another group. And Black folks don't ever win in this scenario. I mean, white folks don't either. If you haven't watched anything OJ related in a very long time, I highly recommend this documentary, even if you've seen it before. I think it came out in 2016, because the end of the documentary, OJ had just been locked up for trying to steal his stuff back in Vegas. He got hit with, I want to say, 33 years. The other thing I was thinking was, you know, I go back and watch these documentaries about, I don't know, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. I was a kid the entire 80s. Like, I remember things happening, but I didn't understand them in context. But I go back and watch these documentaries. HBO Max, I guess now, has a series of them. I think starting with the 60s. I started watching the 2010s the other day. The Obama years and the Trump years. Pause. For anyone who's considering not voting in this election, I'm going to go ahead and guess that most of the people that listen to this podcast are pretty liberal. If you're considering not voting, you think it's between a rock and a hard place because Trump is an absolute maniac with dictator tendencies. And then you have Biden, who at one point seemed kind of sort of to have a moral high ground. But then Israel's genocide of Palestine and Biden's funding of Israel, you're just like, you're participating in genocide, sir. I've seen people promoting that idea. It's a bit of a false equivalency. If you're considering not voting this election because you're thinking like, what's the point? I implore you to watch the episode about Trump from the 2010s and on the HBO documentary. We lived through the Trump presidency. To go back and watch it condensed to the absolute craziest parts of it, it's like a 90-minute shit show. I can't believe we survived that. That man is insane. And he'll be worse if he gets into office a second time. How he's able to run with, like, what did I read the other day? 91 felony charges? I don't understand. But I don't understand. But he is, in fact, running and might fuck around and win if people don't vote. Please go and watch this documentary. I'm not even recommending you watch the whole thing. It's 2010 is the name of the documentary. It's on HBO Max. I think the Trump episode is either number 3 or number 4. It's clearly marked when you pull it up on Max. But just watch it. If you're considering not voting, sitting this election out, Trump is crazy as fuck. We cannot live through that again. We as in humanity, because Trump's nonsense affects more than just America. We as in citizens of the globe cannot live through that again. But I've been going back and watching these documentaries about, you know, decades before I was born, just to get context. And then I like to go and quiz my parents and ask them about all sorts of random things. Like, do you remember this? And where were you when this happened? And blah, 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 blah. I feel so sorry for Gen Z when they go back and start looking at documentaries about things that happened in 2000s onwards. Like, the shit just stops making sense. Some of this shit is so inexplicable, but also, like, the whole OJ thing, we only had one continuous news channel, and that news channel switched over to the OJ trial. Soap operas got canceled, and they switched over to the OJ trial. The idea of, like, interrupting game 5 of the NBA finals to watch a Bronco go down the freeway and watch a car chase for hours, the whole thing is bizarre when you watch it again. Like, it was crazy to live it. But just to go back and watch it all over again, like, I was like, what the fuck? This is insane. I don't know. It's really weird to talk about the passing of OJ. I don't know what the right thing is to say. It's probably not good riddance, which is what Caitlyn Jenner tweeted. I don't feel soft and weepy and nostalgic for OJ. Maybe my dad's generation, because they watched him play football. He was this amazing running back. People, men especially, give amazing grace to Black men who can sing well, run fast, throw balls well, or accumulate a lot of money. Successful and talented Black men. There's a whole lot of grace, especially from other men, also from women, for folks who do that. I don't have that OJ nostalgia. OJ's heyday in football was before I was born, and all of the 80s, I'm a child. Technically, I probably saw him running through the airport in a Hertz commercial, but it meant nothing to me because I don't have the context for it. I didn't have the context to be like, oh, Black celebrities doing commercials for really big companies is new. It just, that's what was on TV. So I'm detached from some of that. I don't have big OJ nostalgia. My connection to OJ is, I think I knew who he was by the time of the Bronco chase. He was just random Black celebrity to me. He wasn't, and just keep in context my age at the time, he wasn't like Martin Lawrence or Chris Rock or one of the Wayans brothers. Like, he wasn't that. OJ, for me, is the guy who got away with murder and then fucked around and ended up getting locked up for dumb shit years later. That's my complete OJ context. I can read about his football accomplishments. I can watch the highlights of the movies he was in. I have no real visceral connection to OJ. I don't feel no ways about him passing. It's sad that somebody died. I feel for his family, particularly his Black children, but actually for him, it's like, oh, OJ died. He's a notorious, infamous pop icon is not the right word. Pop culture figure? That's all I got. Trial of the century. That's my OJ association. I don't struggle with feelings about OJ. I'll tell you who I do struggle with feelings about. I had this conversation on my Facebook page. I don't think I talked about it on here yet. It was a few weeks ago, too. What to do about Diddy and his catalog? Do we cancel Diddy? I mean, I guess that's the first starting question. Do we cancel him? Do we continue to listen to Diddy music? And if we do cancel Diddy, how far does the cancellation go? Do we just not listen to music with Diddy where he's on the track? Or are we going to be purists in our cancellation and get rid of everything that Diddy touches? Because I was like, I wish you could see the face I'm making right now. I was like, I don't know how that's going to go. Because for me, that's everything from sophomore year to high school to a couple years out of college. I don't have no music to listen to. R. Kelly's already gone. So I don't have nothing Bad Boy related, nothing Diddy touch. All About the Benjamins, that goes. Like, does Jodeci go? Does Mary J. Blige go? Does Faith go? Does 112 go? Like, how far are we going with this? Does Biggie go? Diddy touched a whole lot of shit. Like, this becomes problematic. Or do we not cancel Diddy? I don't know. That's some shit I would struggle with. R. Kelly, I actually did struggle with that too. Letting go of Chocolate Factory. The remix to Ignition was the last one I couldn't let go of. I held on to that for a really long time. I let go of R. Kelly music for the most part. Because every time I would hear his voice, I would think about them little girls, and that was just real uncomfortable. But I was like, Diddy, let's just see what happens at these trials. Because some of these lawsuits absolutely have to go to trial at some point. I mean, is he going to settle all the lawsuits?
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. That's why I have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. I've been using their products for a while now, and I'm hooked. But don't just take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code RATCHET when you check out at oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. I've been using OneSkin for months, and I love how it makes my skin feel. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code RATCHET at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code RATCHET. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. That's because First Leaf gets to know your unique preferences. To start, I answered a few questions on their website about the flavors I like, how often I drink wine, and if I prefer red, white, or my favorite, rosé. Based on my answers, First Leaf curated an amazing selection of wines just for me. And when I rate those wines, my wine selection gets even more tailored. I asked for dry rosés, and First Leaf absolutely delivered, figuratively and literally. Best of all, I get to choose when I want my box delivered and how often I get new assortments of wine. Being part of the First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, I get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if I want wine pairing advice or to talk about the wines in my box, I can always speak with one of their experts. Plus, I get member exclusive pricing on every order. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet.
DR from Detroit, the new episode came out. I fiend for these episodes. The show is so good. The latest episode, episode 6, I don't want to tell you anything because it just came out on Thursday. I don't know if people had a chance to watch it. I don't want to spoil it. After I spoiled Creed that time, I'd be scared to talk about stuff. My bad. I still feel bad about that. The Return of Bridgerton is back in May. This season is about, what's the girl's name? The redhead. The one that's writing all the letters, spilling everybody's tea. Why can't I remember this girl's name? And I love me some Bridgerton too. I went on a whole Bridgerton tour when I was in London. I went to Bath. It's named after the Roman baths from like a million years ago. But when they do on-location shoots, when they're outdoors, they shoot a lot of it there. Very beautiful town. Very shitty day when I was there. UK, it rains all the damn time. I said I love me some Bridgerton. I love Bridgerton 1. Bridgerton 2 was okay. And then I like the one with the Black Queen. I would actually take some more of the Black Queen, but I don't know where else they would go with the story. If they can find some other ways to tell me more about the Black Queen, I'm interested. Bridgerton 2 was just all right. They didn't really do it for me. Bridgerton 3, I like this character, Penelope. That's her name. I like Penelope, and I like the guy that she's attracted to. And I like that there's like a plush madame, a fuller sized girl who's going to be the lead for the show. I like that. Fluffy girls need love too. I'll watch it. You know how I am about a budget and costumes. Bridgerton does give good costume and good budget. So I'm here for that, if nothing else. Hopefully they're giving us a good storyline. The storyline for 2 wasn't bad. It just didn't hold my attention. I don't know. I needed something different. Hopefully this delivers. And also I need to see like a sexy Black man. There's somebody they keep showing in the commercials. I think it's the boxer guy from season 1. I think he showed up in season 2. I don't remember. But he was definitely the boxer in season 1. And I was like, if you can give me some shirtless moments with him and some good love scenes with he and his wife, that could make me happy. I could work with that. I'm just saying. Speaking of sexy men, last time we spoke, Essence had only rolled out one man for the sexiest man of the moment cover. It was Damson Idris in that brick-colored leather. They've since given us 2 more sexy man covers. I think it's just 3 covers. I was like, how many covers are we going to do, Essence? What is the budget looking like? The budget is seeming robust. The second man of the moment was Russell. I always got to think real hard. I always want to name one of the bad Russells, but this is the good Russell. Russell Wilson, Sierra's Russell. He's a man of the moment. He looks nice on the cover, but he didn't really do it for me. Damson's cover was like, goddamn, like he looks amazing. I mean, Russell's not really like a goddamn dude. I mean, he's a nice looking man. I don't have lust in my heart for him. He's a very nice looking man. I don't want to sound sideways about Russell Wilson in no kind of ways. He's like attractive to me in context. Like when he's with Sierra, when he's with the kids, when he's saying beautiful things about his wife, he's attractive to me. But just to see him, I'm like, oh, he's nice looking. But I'm not just like, oh, shit. Now that Usher cover, Usher's the third man of the moment. Usher, I look at him. You know how I feel about Usher. I'm not telling y'all nothing. Y'all don't know. I look at Usher and be like, God damn. Usher in the bathtub. Remember last episode, I was like, look, Essence, thank you so much for these photos. I know y'all got video somewhere. Release the video. They released some video. Not of Damson. I haven't seen video of Damson. I know y'all got some video, Essence. I know y'all got some video. Release the video of Damson. I know y'all have it. But they released that video of Usher in the bathtub with his nipples out. That man is fine as shit. One of my classmates, which means he's my age. I posted a picture of Usher in my stories and my classmate reached out to me and he was like, is this a throwback? And I was like, no, this is from the new Essence. And he was like, how old is Usher in this picture? And I was like 44, 45. And he was like, fuck him. He said, I'm 43. That man ain't playing fair. And I was like, favor ain't fair, friend. Favor ain't fair. My friend is also not a brown friend. He's an of color friend, but he's not a brown friend. So he's not aging like people with no melanin. He actually comes from a group that ages very nicely, but he don't have Usher abs. Bless his heart. He got a face card, though. That's my good friend from high school. He's so funny. But no, Usher looks fabulous. With the blue cover, very, very well done, Essence. Very, very pleased. I did see a little video, though. One of the editors behind the camera, she was saying like, oh, this is Essence's first sexiest man alive in 50-some-odd years of the publication. And I was like, no. There were men's issues of Essence. This is not a new concept. You're reinvigorating a part of the brand that was well established like back in the 90s. I can't even claim credit for it when I was there. It's like a little institutional knowledge, my love. That's okay. You didn't know. That's okay. But please go find the archives. I know they're still somewhere in the office. Please go find the archives and flip through. Learn a little bit of your history. We treat Essence like it's a sorority. We really do. Like, and who's there now? Who knows them? Can we reach out to them? Who's there now? Ooh, that was some auntie shit. It's happening. It's time. But no, the Essence covers look really, really good. I did see folks had a little bit of critique about the Russell cover. And they were like, I don't get it. Why is he in fur? Or they didn't care for his suit. And I was like, I mean, he didn't look bad. I only talk about shit when it looks like terrible. Was it the best outfit? It wasn't the worst. I thought he looked nice. But I feel like, I mean, if we're judging the covers against each other, I feel like it was probably the weakest one. But because Usher knocked it out the park. Damson Idris knocked it out the park. Russell, it was an okay cover. It was good to see him get a nod because, you know, I talk about all the time. I think I talk about it on here. I talk about a bunch of stuff and then edit it out in post. I remember the stuff that I say. I don't always remember what I published and what I didn't. But sometimes I get really frustrated at the way Russell Wilson gets treated because he's a really good dude. He seems to be a great husband. He seems to be a great dad. He's not involved in no mess. He make a bunch of money. All you see him do in public is hang out with his wife, hang out with his kids, and go to work. That's it. But he gets called a simp a lot, and people question his masculinity, his choice in woman, and all sorts of things. I just don't think it's fair. We'll ride or die. We'll celebrate for a man who, more than likely, even though he was found not guilty, he was found civilly liable, but more than likely killed his ex-wife and this waiter at a restaurant. We'll celebrate that. We'll literally cheer and cry tears of joy for this man's acquittal. But we don't celebrate enough, because Essence just did that. So I want to acknowledge that they've done it. But we don't celebrate enough men like Russell Wilson, who do what they're supposed to do and do a good job at it. Many, many women think of him as the ideal man. That's why they stay asking, like, Sierra girl, what was the prayer? Because they want a man like Russell. But I don't feel like he gets his just due a lot. So I appreciate Essence for showing him some love. One of the videos Essence did, they asked Usher, who was your celebrity crush? I don't think Usher got good sense. I'm really starting to question it. Because they asked the man about his celebrity crush. And of all the women in all the world, like, sir, if you don't fucking say Janet Jackson and move on, he's going to say my celebrity crush was Chili. Sir, sir, recently married, sir. Why can't you keep this woman's name out your mouth? You got a whole new bride. Why can't you keep Chili's name out your mouth? You got married to the lady on a Sunday. You couldn't even be married a week before people got a cover story where you're gushing about Chili and y'all breaking up and your feelings for her and blah, blah, blah. Why can't you keep this lady's name out your mouth? I know that was an uncomfortable conversation with your new bride. Like, we just got married. The story isn't us getting married in our family. The story is you and this 20-year crush that you had on this woman that you fucked around and couldn't keep. She told you no. You can't let it go, sir. Now Essence gonna ask you who your crush is. You couldn't give a safe answer. Nothing in your head said, you know what? I probably shouldn't say Chili again. That was a lot of controversy last time I said it. I should probably name somebody else. No, no, no. He went into detail like, yeah, Chili. I was about, I don't know, like 11 years old. Looking all nostalgic, his face lighting up and whatnot. Sir, stop talking about this lady. If you're not gonna go be with this lady and I'm not convinced he's not gonna try at some point, because clearly that's the love of his life. I don't know if Chili's open to him, but I really wish this man, even right now, as a married man, I really wish he would go ahead and make that call and shoot his shot and let this woman he just locked down go live her best life. Because he treat that lady like she a backup. My feelings were hurt for her when I saw that clip about him talking about Chili yet again. You got a whole brand new husband and he can't keep this lady, not even his ex-wife. He don't talk about none of his ex-wives like this. He talk about Chili. He cannot keep that lady's name out his mouth. And clearly in his head and in his heart too. Sir, go figure out what this situation is with Chili and stop wasting people's time. Yours, hers, your wife's, and everybody else's. Stop this nonsense. It's too much. It's too much. I would be so hurt.
Spring is in full bloom, but are your finances blooming too? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or home. If you want to improve your credit, it's time for a Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. It comes with no annual fees, interest, or credit check to apply, and you can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. And my favorite part, you get access to more than 60,000 fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/ratchet. That's chime.com/ratchet. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank North America or Stride Bank North America, members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out of network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Oh, Mr. C passed away? I don't know much about him. I know several people who worked with him in New York radio, and they had nothing but beautiful things to say. I get real nervous about folks when they pass away and nobody writes beautiful words about you, about your impact on them, how you treated them well, a run-in with them, something. But my friend Rakia May, she worked with Mr. C when she was doing New York radio, and she had beautiful words to say. And then also Scotty Beam. Apparently he was a mentor to her in New York radio, and she wrote very beautiful things about him. I never met him. The only thing I know about him is, you know, he's a DJ. And I think this is fair to say. It was public knowledge. I don't think it's a bad thing. He had been arrested for soliciting prostitutes, specifically transgender women. I think if it happened now, it would be like, oh, okay, you into trans women. All right. People might have light jokes about it, but it wouldn't really be like a thing. But he was, I'm trying to choose my words carefully. He was arrested in 2013, I think, and it became public knowledge that he was interested in trans women. And the culture just wasn't, not that it's, you know, where it needs to be now. I think the needle has moved somewhat significantly, I would say, where now it would be a story for a day and then people would move on. Malik Yoba did an interview on The Breakfast Club where he talked about loving trans women, dating trans women. People talked about it for a couple of days and then people moved on. With Mr. C, I think it was looked at as more of a stigma, if you will, as opposed to like, oh, okay, that's what he's into, and just keep it pushing. There's definitely more growth that needs to happen around acceptance of the T and LGBT. But I think Mr. C was a victim of timing. This is the non-factor to me. You know what I like to say? Was it consensual? Was everyone of age? Were they white feet in your mouth on camera? If no, then I don't really care. But rest in peace, Mr. C. I offer my condolences to his friends and family, loved ones, coworkers. From what I read, seems like a good dude. What else do we have on my list? It's not a big week. Oh, J. Cole. We didn't talk about this last episode. J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake have been involved in some kind of feud, the details of which I really don't give two shits about. I didn't know there was any kind of beef until I heard about J. Cole's song, 7-Minute Drill, which is supposed to call out Kendrick. And I heard about it and I gave two shits about it. Like, it's not something I care about. Between J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake, I'm a fan of Kendrick. J. Cole, I don't really listen to. Drake, I listen to the singles. I think I might have listened to a Drake album in totality once, whatever album had Hotline Bling on it. I just never really super got into Drake like that. Like, I listen to the stuff that comes on the radio, but never just like, oh, let me put on this Drake album. That's just not me. J. Cole, and nothing against J. Cole. I just never got into J. Cole like that. So this is a non-factor to me. The reason it became a factor is J. Cole apologized. He thought Kendrick said some shit about him, and then he's now responding to Kendrick on 7-Minute Drill. He drops an album called Might Delete Later, oddly enough. Actually, maybe not oddly enough. Maybe the name of it was that because it'll make sense when I explain what happened. J. Cole drops this album that includes this single that takes a couple jabs at Kendrick. I'm not going to read what it is because J. Cole has walked it back 48 hours after the song came out. He was headlining his own festival, Dreamville, and talking about this diss track for Kendrick. He told the audience that, quote, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life. And then he goes on this 4-minute, let's not call it a rant because it was purposeful and intentional. It's 4-minute soliloquy, call it that. He said he made the song and since he put it out, he's not been sleeping well. And he said, quote, I moved in a way that I spiritually feel bad on. I tried to like jab my nigga back. And I tried to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right with my spirit. That shit disrupts my fucking peace. He continues, I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear, but I got to keep it 100 with y'all. I got the world and I got my niggas like, what you gonna do, Cole? I must have had 1,000 missed calls. Oh my God, text flooded. I couldn't answer my shit. People were saying to him, quote, nigga, it's wartime. He says, I know how I feel about my peers. These two niggas that I've just been blessed to even stand beside in the game. He's talking about Drake and Kendrick. Let alone chase their greatness. I feel conflicted because I don't really feel no way, but the world wants to see blood. I respect the hell out of him for backing off, for admitting he was wrong, and publicly at that. I get that rap battles, rap beefs are a part of hip hop. I get the battle for supremacy. Everybody wants to be number one. Everybody wants to be the best. But I also respect this grown ass man. J. Cole is 39 years old, officially a grown ass man. When I was like 35, people were like, oh my God, you're middle aged. Then he is too. Fuck it. It takes a lot of heart when everyone's pushing you to do something for you to be like, no, I'm not going to do it. I think it's especially hard when you do something and you put it out there and then turn around and have to walk it back. It's not just your friends and fam. It's not just the hundreds of people or the thousands of people blowing up your text. Now it's millions of people. And now you got to turn around. You don't have to. You choose to walk it back and be like, this isn't me. This isn't who I am. It shows amazing character to me. I think so many people lack character that they don't even recognize it when they see it. I think J. Cole is a hell of a person for this. I think he's a hell of a man for this. So many people are unable to do what he's done. So many people would allow their ego, once it's swept up in the hype, which is what he says happened here, there are so many people who would have kept letting their ego get swept up in the hype. And the other part of this, if he kept going along on this road where he don't really even stand on what he said, it would have been disastrous for him. More than just like he's not sleeping well, more than it's just like not sitting heavy on his heart. He's just moving in a way that's not authentic with who he is. I don't even know what the outcome would have been. I just know it'll be a hot ass mess. Good for him for course correcting. When people refer to standing on business, I feel like this is standing on business. Not just ranting and raving about dumb shit. Just acknowledging publicly, especially how I'm moving is not aligned with who I am and my spirit. I'm not comfortable and I'm not doing this shit no more. I don't want to live like this. That's character to me. All right, that's the episode. We'll be back on Tuesday. Yeah. So have a great weekend and talk soon. Bye.